Hello?
Mr. Colonel Lutz?
Yeah.
This is Larry Moyers. I'm from Akron, calling from Akron. And I'm with the Flying Saucer Investigating Committee here. I suppose you've had your share of this kind of call, haven't you?
Oh, I've had quite a bit, yeah, I have.
So we were real interested in your story because the Cleveland Plain Dealer carried one account, and then the Beacon Journal carried another account.
Yeah.
And I was quite interested. Have you a few minutes to share with us here?
Yeah, I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
All right. Would you tell me when the original story occurred?
I'd like to explain something to you. I don't know what you've heard or what you've read, but for the safety benefit of my family, we've labeled it a hoax, and intend to stay with you unless an official investigation comes out and says otherwise, and I've given some type of.
And we are certainly not labeling anything hoaxes as such, you know.
Yeah.
Because we've had too much experience with the whole relationship of UFOs and close contact.
Yeah.
But would you briefly just tell me what the whole background story is?
Well, back in February, I saw some type of object in a distance. And it was kind of foggy that day. It was just maybe as high. One thing that caught my attention is high altitude and heavy wings on it, and it was traveling fast. However, I was on the tractor, and of course it was running, and I don't know whether it didn't sound good or not. And a little later on, March the 21st, I was measuring dust field, pre-measuring field, and I seen an object of some type come from the south. Going northwest, traveling roughly 50 miles per hour, maybe something like 200 feet off the ground. It looked like it was about 100 feet long, shaped like a cylinder, round like a cylinder. And the front come out to a blunt point. The color was dark gray. And approximately, let's see, on March the 31st, I run up on a similar type object in a road just close to the house, and I was under the impression that it was a bunch of Air Force personnel working on some type of experimental equipment. Of course, I was determined to sit there in the road, and I was raised out right here in the same area, and I thought, well, the fellow could get into it. Why, be the Air Force personnel be sitting there working. However, it wasn't. I didn't see anybody. I talked to something, or I talked to somebody, or something, or some type of machine for roughly 5 minutes. And when I went back and got picked up, pulled around, it was a similar looking object, the same thing that I'd seen previously on March the 21st. And on April the 11th, on this March 31st,
yeah,
the Air Force came over and made investigations. Several law personnel made investigations, and none of them would tell me, the Air Force, anybody, what it was.
Well, now, did Mr. Hynek talk with you personally?
He didn't say it, no, huh?
Yeah.
He didn't say it. They wouldn't tell me what it was, so it's still around in the area. On April the 11th, I got on a small one and was transferred to another one, given a physical to the put back in that little one, and left back up in the back picture. That's just a short rundown. It's a long, drawn-out prayer.
Yeah, well, now, were you actually in space?
The only answer I could give that was changed in the atmosphere, and there was definitely cool. Now, however, there wasn't any windows. I couldn't see out of either one of them.
Well, now, how did you make the transfer between objects?
It was done through some type of a metal
protect your testimony. What actually altered your story?
Well, I was going through the process of trying to get some permanent evaluation before anything was released.
Yes.
And Hiding talked to me back right after Thanksgiving and discussed the matter. He suggested I just rest an hour or something like that. And he wanted to see the pictures that I had taken. Well, I sent, I believe, five or six up there. And he took 5 or 6 weeks, something like that, to run some type of analysis. During that time, there was a small newspaper, I say small, as large as a newspaper, the Amarillo. They got wind of a little about what was going on. And they come down here, snooping around, and went back up there and saying what they found out. Well, when they come out here and talk to me, I told them I wouldn't tell them anything until I got some type of permanent evaluation. And I tried to go to Professor Heineck and get some type of evaluation. Well, they called Professor Heineck and insisted on some type of evaluation and hoped he wouldn't give me anything, announce anything. And he sent the Associated Press and the Houston Post up here right after that, about a week, 10 days, something like that. After that, to conduct an investigation to gather up all the information, finish him, let him evaluate. They gathered up all the information. We'd like to photograph past, and we'd like to send the pictures to the Polaroid Corporation for a permanent evaluation. And the Polaroid, the photograph past, we've been trying to get set up for 3 or 4 days. And we had it set up for 5 o'clock Monday afternoon. Well, the Associated Press, the United Press, is in, well, it is fight tooth and nail practically. And the United Press got wind of a little about what was going on and come up here and went out with a short story to undercut the Associated Press.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted to speed it up then to 11 o'clock, let's see, 11 o'clock Sunday, if we could make. And I agree. Let's see, it's about 9 o'clock Saturday night, I got a threatening phone call that stated that if I went through the photograph test, my family would be in great danger. However, I didn't know what maybe it was a kid, a prank, something like that. And I didn't think too much about it. And about 10 o'clock, they called me and told me we had it set up for 11 o'clock Sunday morning in Amarillo, which is roughly 125 miles from here, something like that. So I got up early and left about 7:30, and I had went 35, 40 miles, something like that, and the area that I was in then was hilly. I went over top of the hill, down from that hill, there was a car stalled in the over a culvert, and a woman standing out in the opposite lane with the door open, waving a purse. Well, I pulled over in the opposite lane and stopped. Soon she had a flat, ran out of gas, had some kind of car trouble, and got out, walked up to her, stepped close to her, grabbed the front car, and asked her, as she was in front of her, well, I heard something from behind. Then I was knocked down, hit below the neck, knocked down, and I rolled over, and the two men, one dressed in a dark, either a black suit or a dark gray, the other one in a brown, and they told me that if I went through with the photograph, that I wouldn't make it back. Well, I went on to Amarillo, and failed And then, of course, the Associated Press was sent out there, the Associated Press and the Houston Post and the Grove ML News was sent out there listening to what we were discussing. The Post meant to discuss it privately. And they wrote it all down and printed it.
Well, no, of course, you didn't reveal at that time, did you, the fact that you had been stopped on the road?
No, I didn't. Sure didn't.
But then how did they get hold of that part of it?
Well, I came back home, and as soon as I got home, I called the police department and reported to them what had happened to me, and if anything happened to me, that then they would know that, that somebody would know something about it other than me. And about 9:30, 10 o'clock, something. Along in that area that night, that time. I have three watchdogs, and they started barking. Well, they barked 15, 20 minutes before I thought anything about it. Then I got up, went outside to see what they're barking at, and there's a highway here in front of my house, the Farm Marks Road, and there's a car set down from the house for 500 yards. I could just see the blackout sign and just sit there. No light. So after what happened that morning, I come back to the house, got a gun, went back outside, got behind the storm shelter. And in a little bit, while this car came on by the house, running slow, and no light, went on up somewhere, turned around, and come back by. Still no light. So I got approximately the corner of the house, and they fired three shots. Well, I started shooting at them. I don't know how many times they shot back or whether they shoot at me or what. But I shot back. And then, after that happened, I just went ahead and told what had happened.
Oh, I see. Now, did you have any bullets that had lodged anywhere near you?
No. We couldn't find any bullets that hit around close. We found where the, the law personnel found where the car turned around. But, we didn't find any place where they hit around close to me.
And you don't have any evidence that you hit them either, huh?
No.
Well, it certainly is an interesting story. Have you had any threats on yourself since that period?
They are conducting an official investigation out of this, and I was talking to one of the investigators yesterday, and I talked to a policeman in Amarillo, and I guess it was about an hour after that, something like that, I got a phone call warning me not to get it stirred up again. However, it's out of my hands. The official investigation has began, and they'll continue. Go right ahead and continue.
Yes, now, who does this involve, the FBI?
No, the University of Colorado.
Oh, I see. They're in on it. Dr. Condon.
Yeah. They were three investigators down here Monday morning. And they went around the old area. I don't know what all they done, but they are definitely interested, and the pictures have been sent to the University of Colorado. And, of course, I don't know what all they're going to do.
They told me
they'd come up with something probably in about 6 weeks, something like that.
Now, have you made copies of the photos?
No.
Oh, this is unfortunate. I think you should have.
Because
now you don't have anything at all, do you?
No, I have certified mail, you know, I'll have certified slip before they receive.
And they promise to send them back to you?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume the university will keep the word on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been quite so sure if other agencies had gotten it, but I think they would.
Yeah. Well, they seem to look at it with open mind, or these three investigators did, and commented to me several times that it had happened before, that people had been threatened, and the safety of the family was involved, and was going to get the whole thing.
Do you know who the people
people were from the university?
Let me see here. Let's see. The one that was this year by Condon is Captain Robert Falk.
Oh, yes.
Post Office Box 1, Tulsa.
I've heard the name before.
Yes. And another one. Let's see. Bill Corder.
Well, I'm not acquainted with him.
He is the, let's see, he is the private detective from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh.
And, James H. Hartley, special sheriff deputy, field and investigation coordinator.
And these men were sent in from Dr. Condon?
Yeah,
Have we missed anything that you think would be of special interest here in the experience you had while aboard the craft?
Well, I was on that thing roughly an hour and a half. It was get through it. And as we went through the other side, I turned right. Well, I looked to the left as I turned right, and I seen four lines of some type of weapon. There's roughly, let's see, there's roughly 30 inches in length. Thought about 12 inches. The barrel was probably a half across. There was a large disc, three large discs, roughly 5 inches around. And they were probably a half stick and a half part. Starting approximately there were a breach of a shot safe, for instance, shotgun was. And there was a bunch of these round discs in a pigeonhole like the old time disc you see, with a rod through the center, opposite of these racks. We turned right there and went all 4 or 5 feet, something like that, and there was a partition. Oh, and in this station there's an opening as for a door, but I didn't see a door there. And this fellow that was in front stopped and told me to go on in the next compartment and most brought me to. And when I stepped in there, it looked like approximately the same type of room that I had seen previously through the door of that object on March 31st. Just inside the door, there's two men, and they came over to me and explained to me that they were conducting a survey and would appreciate it if I cooperate and let them give me a physical examination.
They spoke to you in English?
Yes, uh-huh. And at that time, I didn't have any choice. So we went on down to approximately the center of the room, and there was a meeting down there. They had me to undress, stand in front of this machine, which was approximately 6 feet high and 36 inches wide. And they had me completely undressed, pushed me up, completely against this machine, which was cupped in the front. And there was a large throw switch on the left-hand side, up about 4 or 5 feet, something like that. And they pulled it down, and there's two lights come on at roughly a half foot, 6 inches, something like that, from the top. And there was a narrow band of glass or plastic between them. There's a knob on the right-hand side, roughly 3 feet from the bottom, that he turned until these two lights went together in the center. And when they went together in the center, there was long, flexible, hypodermic-type needle came out of it. And instead of coming out and penetrating into the skin, it came out and laid down against the skin. And what about every? Well, during all this process, the other man, the one that seemed to be in control, was down at the other end of the machine. This machine, either was, well, the top of it reduced down. Instead of being 6 feet high, it reduced down to about 4. And the map's on top of the desk, roughly a yard square. One map off the chart, and that's directly in front of the desk. And on the right hand part of the desk, there was a vessel in a closed clear light container. And some papers with writing, some type of writing on it with paperweight, a metal type paperweight man on top of the paper. Well, I couldn't read any of the writings at all. And the paperweight had some type of engraving or insignia on it, and it's about 2 by 3 square. And it's about three. And I picked it up and looked to see if the man in the other compartment was looking in my direction, or could see maybe from the side and see into the compartment and look to see what I was doing. I didn't see the four of them.